KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. It's a great day to be a Bulldog. I'm Eddie Hughes, sitting alongside our producer, Kevin Kirsten. We've got some basketball talk coming up later in the show with the women at home facing Nevada today. The men are on the road at Nevada at 3 p.m. That's on CBS Sports Network in a game that could go a long way to determine the Mountain West Championship down the road. But before all that, we're joined in studio today by a first-time guest, Fresno State men's tennis head coach Luke Shields. Luke, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Go Dawgs.
Let's start off just talking about, you know, it's your second season you're coming into here. What are your team's goals for this season? You're second as the man in charge.
We're thrilled for the season. You know, we've put in a ton of work. Our guys are pumped. We got great leadership. Ewan McIntosh is our captain. We have Seth Hassan, who's a captain as well. But Ewan's our senior, and everyone's thrilled to play for him. It's his last semester. And yeah, we put in a ton of work. As far as our goal as a team is to be the mentally toughest team all year. And our guys are making giant strides that direction. And we got some skilled players, some talented players, young guys. And we're really looking forward to seeing them shine. You know, we still have some work to put in, but yeah, this is going to be a very successful year for us. You know, we've already laid the groundwork, so we're thrilled.
Where does that come from? You know, you mentioned mental toughness, and I know that's a huge part of sports, but it's not always the first thing coaches say when they talk about what they want their team to be. Does that come from the style of player you were coming up or from some of your coaching mentors? Where does that come from?
That's where I specialized. It was mental toughness, and everyone has specialties, you know, everyone's successful in certain areas. And if I can transfer that over to my guys, I think we'll be pretty successful. And you know, our guys are the same way. I think they want that as well. Obviously, a sport like tennis, you have to be mentally tough to get through certain matches. And mental toughness is basically just loving the everyday grind. And anytime there's a tight situation, having the mentality to love it rather than hate it and run away from it. So embracing those big moments. And our guys are starting to do that. We're competing a lot more in practice. We're really emphasizing the practices. There's more on the line. You know, it's more of a, we talk about dominating our practices, not competing in practice. Our guys are buying into that concept. So yeah, I'm thrilled to see where we go from here.
I know you're hungry to get out there and kind of get the spring season going. Mm-hmm. The weather's been a little bit of an effect for you guys. I know you were supposed to play on Friday against a strong Cal Poly team that got washed out by the rain. But today at 2 p.m., you've got Sac State coming into the Wathan Tennis Center, weather permitting. What do you look for going into that match?
Well, it's just a great opportunity for our guys to get out there and compete and show what they're made of. It's a great kickoff match for us, I believe. And, you know, we have a weekend off next weekend where we'll just be competing in practice. But, yeah, we're happy to hit the courts. I'm really looking forward to seeing these young guys compete and also see what type of leadership we have. So, yeah. When it comes to weather, it's the same thing. It's mental toughness. It's how you handle the environment, how you handle things that are out of your control. And it kind of tests your patience at times, but you have to be able to weather the storm and fight through those moments. So our guys have done a great job. Every opportunity that we've had to hit the courts, when it is dry, we've done it, and they've embraced it pretty well.
Now, you guys have some nice new courts out there.
Yeah.
That I'm sure those are handling the elements a little bit better and just better conditions safety-wise for your team. Have the guys appreciated that since those were finished up last year?
No, for sure. We got beautiful courts and we got a great facility. You can't complain about our facility. You know, before, I think guys were tripping around the courts a little bit. It was kind of a safety hazard. So they're definitely happy to be healthy and be out on nice courts.
How anxious are the guys? I know you mentioned you've got quite a few newcomers this year. How anxious are they to just get out there and start competing?
Man, it's a challenge because with tennis, you have all fall and we're preaching every day about what we do in April. And guys, it's a lot of talking. And I think our guys are just anxious to get out there and start going to work. And so, yeah, I mean, you're dead on. There's a little bit of anxiety, but we'll fight through that. And I mean, we play more matches than any team in the country. I did that for a reason. You know, I really believe that the more you compete, the more you put yourself in that type of environment, the better you're going to get. And also, I mean, our practices are like matches, you know. We've kind of shifted over to that direction. And so our guys are getting double, triple the competition that some teams are getting. And so I think that's very healthy. There's some anxiety, but I think our guys are fighting through that.
Fans out there who aren't quite so familiar with how the college schedule works, mm-hmm. I know you guys did have some events in the fall. Mm-hmm. Now the spring is getting ready to ramp up. Talk about how it works just with the NCAA schedule and men's tennis kind of splitting those two seasons.
Yeah, so there's a rule. You're only allowed 25 dates with your team, 25 individual dates and 25 team dates. And so the scheduling's a big piece of it. You know, you really have to plan it out well. I tend to have a little bit softer schedule in the fall as far as match dates and a heavier load in the spring because I think the environment in the spring is way better. And so I try to save all 25 team dates for the spring competition. We do play a couple doubleheaders and one triple header, which will challenge the guys mentally. We did that on purpose, and you just got to plan it out well. I think we did that this year. Everything's kind of come together. Obviously, with the weather, we have to adjust a little bit. But yeah, we got a great schedule and really thrilled to get going.
As we mentioned, coming into year two, I know the team showed some positive signs last year. You guys competed well. You competed against some of the league's tough competition. Mm-hmm. But I have a feeling, getting to know you off the air, that your vision is to move up the conference ranks going forward. Talk about just what your vision is coming in as the Fresno State coach.
We've always talked competing at the national stage. You know, my goal's always been to win a national championship. I think we can here. I think that's our mindset. We have lofty goals. We set the bar high, and our guys are starting to buy in and believe in that. And so we're shifting a little bit away from the conference scene in a sense. I mean, obviously that's part of our goals as well, and we definitely want to have success in those areas. But, you know, we're really looking at the national scene and looking to compete with the best teams in the country. Next year, I've shifted our schedule over to compete against a lot of top 20 teams. And so, yeah, big visions for the future. We really think that we got a good product here at Fresno State, and we can build upon it, and the future looks bright. So, yeah, that's kind of our vision for the future. As far as this year, yes, I mean, last year we finished our season really strong. We were a little bit limited with only 7 players. I came in middle of October last year, and, you know, we didn't have time to really prepare for enough players to really challenge ourselves. But yeah, this year we got a great squad. Our guys are way tougher, way more competitive, and we'll be a lot more successful, and looking forward to build upon some of our success early.
Now, before you came to Fresno State, you were an assistant coach up at a school in Idaho that wears blue and orange that Fresno State fans sometimes don't like to mention around here because of the rivalry.
Yeah.
But Boise State, that's where you played also.
Yeah.
Talk about that transition coming from Boise State to Fresno State. I know in tennis it may not be as fierce a rivalry as football, for instance, but was it still a little bit weird to make that transition, or was that...
Yeah, it was, to be honest. You know, I competed at Boise State as well. And actually, when I was competing, it was a big rivalry. But both Boise State and Fresno State at the time were top 30 programs consistently. And so, yeah, they were pretty bitter rivals at that time. And also, if you're involved in competition long enough, what you do is you love it. You love that feeling of competing against the best. And we had some rivalries with Fresno at that time, but I also gained a lot of respect for those guys, and I stay in touch with those guys. And it's been actually very easy for me to connect with some of the alums in that sense. And anyway, you know, coming here, I wanted a challenge, and I'm just looking forward to get going. I love this team. I love the program. And, you know, I'm thrilled to be here, happy to be here.
How do you see the Mountain West stacking up this year? Who are some of those top competitors that you'll look to, you know, sort of gauging yourselves against this season?
To be honest, we really try to focus on ourselves as much as possible. I tell my guys that too, you know. We try to focus on what we're doing and not really worry about our competition. I know that's a little bit cliche-ish, but I think obviously UNLV won it last year, and they have most of their team return. Obviously, they're definitely the team to beat. Utah State, they won the regular season last year, and they didn't lose anyone. They brought in a couple of key players as well, so they're tough. And you know, New Mexico is always tough. Boise's always tough. And yeah, I mean, I think we have a pretty even conference this season. And we'll see how the season hasn't started for a lot of teams, and so we'll see how it progresses. But, yeah, that's what our competition looks like, really.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you have a family connection within the conference too.
He took a job at Arizona. We will compete against them this year, actually February 25th. He took a job at University of Arizona. He's thrilled for a new challenge. He did a great job, took over at Utah State, which was known as a program very unsuccessful. Didn't really win any matches in the Mountain West for about 10 years. And, you know, he shifted from last to first in a matter of 3 years. And so he did a fantastic job, and he's looking for a new challenge. And he got one at University of Arizona, and he's running with that program. I think he has some challenges there as well, but, you know, I have a lot of respect for him as a coach and look forward to some matches in the future against him.
And that's your brother we're talking about.
Yes.
Did you guys compete hard against each other growing up, or talk about how that sibling rivalry was?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it helps having a sibling close to your age where you can be competitive with, and that's exactly what we had. He's 2 years younger than myself, and we've competed since 3 years old. We compete against each other in certain things. But, you know, I think at a young age, too, we became each other's coaches. That's helped us evolve into coaches ourselves. We've always had that attitude to help each other out, and that's kind of transferred over to helping others out. And, you know, my brother had a lot of success in the juniors, and I took a lot of pride in that because I was daily working with him. And when I had success, he took pride in my success. And so I think that's definitely helped us become better coaches. One thing about my brother, he's probably the hardest working coach in the country. And that's maybe a fact. And, you know, we both take pride in our work. And so I think we challenge each other every day. We communicate with each other. You know, we make sure each other is staying on track, which it's helpful. Anytime you have that connection, it motivates you. So we definitely use it to our advantage.
Someone kind of pushing you along. Yeah. And keeping you on your toes a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you're slipping a little bit, give each other some motivation. And you also, you know, you always think about the future. You think about competing against each other too, making sure your team's in a position to be successful. So yeah, it's definitely helped.
It seems like you've certainly worked really hard on the recruiting trail in the off season. What can you tell us about some of the new guys that are coming into the Bulldog tennis program?
It's still very early, but I'm thrilled. First of all, we had Bailey Gong, who's a local kid from Visalia. Very great kid. He's in our SMIT program over here at Fresno State, which is a very good program. And, you know, he's one of the best players to ever come through the Valley as far as his record in high school tennis. And not only that, he's a great kid. It's fantastic to add pieces like that to the table. And he brings so much to the team. So thrilled to see him out there. He's getting better every single day. We added a player named Xander Vaes. He's a transfer. He's from Belgium. He's top 100 ITF, which is junior tennis, and that's very good. That's a very good level. Was looking at possibly playing professional tennis before college and decided to go to college, and I think he kind of lacked a little motivation at his last school, and so we're looking to get him going a little bit, light the fire beneath his butt a little bit. But if we can do that, gosh, he's very talented, very nice kid. He's left-handed. He's 6'2", strong kid. He can serve the ball 125, 30 miles per hour if he wants to. It's just, you know, getting him in that competitive spirit and really motivating him. But I think the sky's the limit with him, you know, and so we're really looking to see how he gets going here. We got a few kids coming in January here. I mean, I really haven't seen them play too much. We're really excited to see where they go, the future for us. And I don't want to share too much because I really haven't seen them compete that much, but we're excited to see how they start.
Coach, I wanted to ask you, as far as bringing in new recruits, what are some of the key things that you're looking for personally, and things that you may be looking for in a tennis player that you'd like to have to make up your team? Is there anything you're looking for specifically?
What I look for is I'm trying to build a team kind of like the movie X-Men. You're looking for guys that are special, and so that they're going to bring something to the table. And so you look for guys that have that special ingredient, something they do extremely well, then you can work upon it, you know? And if they don't have something special that sticks out, then I don't think they really bring anything to the table. And I can really say with these five guys coming in, they all have something special. They have a special skill, talent, something that they're bringing to the table that's going to allow us to be successful. Obviously, we'll always look for good attitude, you know, guys with experience, guys that, you know, can improve. You're always looking for those things, obviously. But I really, really am searching for guys that are going to make a huge impact and that have some special skill that's going to bring something new to the table. So that's what I look for.
And when you have a match coming up, how is the scouting report on a team when you're coming up? Do you look at a guy, he has a mean serve, this guy is our best returner, or he has a great forehand, we have a great backhand? Like, how do you figure out who's going to line up against who when you're going up against the school?
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying before, you can really look into those things quite a bit and overthink it. And I think it is important to prepare and plan, but gosh, I mean, we really try to focus on what we have control over, and what we have control over is the work we put in every day and working on ourselves. And so, you know, we try to dismiss that a little bit, thinking about what our opponent does. There's only so many things that you have control over, and that's, we don't have control over what our opponent does. So we focus on ourselves, being prepared ourselves, and I think everything kind of sorts itself out from there.
Your team, like a lot of college tennis teams out there, has a lot of international flavor. Mm. Is that a challenge to get those guys to come in and gel when maybe they didn't know each other before, haven't played each other, they're not familiar with each other? Is that a challenge at all for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a challenge, but it's also a blessing in a sense. You know, I think that's what makes our sport so awesome. You know, we have guys from all over the world, and you have to find a way to bring them all together and become one. And, you know, different cultures, and it's unique, you know. It's a little bit of a challenge, but that's the excitement of it as well. A lot of people say, oh, why do we have so many internationals, blah, blah, blah. I think it's unique. You know, tennis is an international sport. It's very big internationally. In some countries, it's the second biggest sport. In the U.S., obviously not. And so there's definitely more talent. The more talented players are playing tennis. You know, the more talented athletes are playing tennis in other countries. And so anyway, I think it's a great opportunity for us to bring a group of guys from all over the world and get them to become one. And I think that's pretty special.
Yeah, it seems like it's definitely a great experience. It's something we've seen at Fresno State for quite a number of years, the men's and women's tennis.
Yeah.
But talk about when you're trying to identify these recruits and who you might want to go after or offer a chance to become a Bulldog. How do you make connections in the different countries? Like, and maybe mention some of the countries that you have been recruiting in.
I mean, you're always networking. I think that's part of coaching. You're always networking, trying to reach out to as many people as possible and gain some connections. We've actually had a very good Czech connection over the last really 20 years. You know, we've had Rudy Seewee, who's a fantastic player, Jacob Czech, Mirko Zablatal in the past. And now we have two other Czech guys on our team. And, you know, you hope to keep some of those pipelines going. They all had fantastic careers, left their legacies here at Fresno State in a really good way. And hopefully these two guys do that as well. But yeah, I mean, you're always looking to gain some connections elsewhere. And it always helps to have a good, honest opinions from people that you trust. And so, you know, you try to make those connections and hopefully trust the people that are helping you out.
And you yourself, you were quite a successful player in your college days at Boise State. I think you were ranked as high as number 4 from what I read in the nation at one point. Is that something you can sell recruits that, hey, I know what it takes to get to the top of the NCAA ranks?
I try not to talk about my playing career too much. But yeah, I can definitely use that to my advantage. I think it helps me as a coach having that experience, and it helps me confidence-wise as well, knowing that I've been in their shoes before. But, you know, I'm a coach now, and I really talk about how I'm going to help them, you know, what I'm going to do for their careers. And that's really what it's about. It's about their experience. I've had my experience now. It's time for them to have their experience and to see their full potential. So it's really about them, and we really try to emphasize that when recruiting. I have some guys that could play, that should play professional tennis, that could, and I really want them to see their dreams and chase after them, you know. And so anyway, it's an exciting group of guys. Definitely have a handful of guys that could play professional tennis afterwards. And so if you get an opportunity to come out and watch these guys, they're fun to watch. They're great kids, and they're very explosive games.
Did you chase a professional dream for a while there, too, after college? Or did you transition straight to coaching?
I found my passion my freshman year of college, and I kind of knew I was going to get into this some way or another. And so, you know, I played professionally a little bit before college, obviously as an amateur. But that wasn't my passion, you know. It's a tough road, and, you know, I didn't like the travel, didn't like the individual aspect of it. Then I started playing college tennis my freshman year, and I just loved the team aspect. It's unique. Tennis is an individual sport, yet college tennis is a team sport. And so I love that aspect and decided at that point I wanted to stay involved in it. And so, you know, I got into coaching it right away. I knew it was what I wanted to do. I put in a ton of work and happy to be at this point in my career.
How'd you get started playing tennis?
You know, my dad was a football player, and we have a pretty big family. We have 5 kids in our family. And my dad just said, no football. You're going to play tennis. And all of us were a little bit bummed out at the time, but I think it kind of worked out. And, you know, there's 4 boys in our family and a girl, and we all played tennis. And I kind of got going at a very young age. I think I was 8 or 7 years old when I started, and we just ran with it.
Did everyone play at the college level? Or
my oldest brother played Division II tennis. My sister played Division II tennis. They got started a little bit later. I'm sure they would have been even more successful. They got started in their teens. My youngest brother got the advantage, you know, being the youngest. He definitely had the best career as far as junior career. And yeah, he played Division I tennis. I played with him for 3 years. So
it sounds like you weren't allowed to play football at a young age. But yeah. I know we've played some pickup basketball together. I've seen that you can hold your own on the basketball court as well. Is there any other sports you played growing up, or what, were you pretty focused that tennis was the direction for you?
I mean, I love other sports, but just watching, you know, even the basketball game that last night was exciting to watch. I'm all about sports, and our whole family is. And we grew up playing basketball, football, but nothing really too competitive. But I'm a firm believer in cross training. And so we did that. And I do that with my guys as well, as much as possible. So, yeah, I mean, I love every sport. They're all fun to watch.
Who were some of your role models in tennis, whether it be, you know, a pro player you looked up to as a kid, or as you were getting older, some of your mentors that were coaches, or, you know, people in the coaching profession that mentored you?
Well, there's so many. You know, I can't name all of them. There's a lot of college coaches that I respect a lot. And obviously my coach at Boise State had a huge impact on my life as well. You know, I think my brother right now, he's one guy that impacts me daily. And so I'd have to say him. But But also growing up professionally, there's been some great leadership. Andre Agassi was always fun to watch. And it's not just what he did, you know, on the court, but the charities that he's done off the court and how he's matured as an individual throughout his career was pretty amazing to see. You know, he kind of turned from a punk kid to a phenomenal leader in the community. And so that's pretty neat. Patrick Rafter was always like the guy I looked up to as well. I don't know if you know that name, but
yeah.
He's just a really good guy off the court and just a really fun game to watch on the court. So,
who's the biggest star you ever met? Have you ever met any of those guys?
I've never been really into like reaching out to guys and asking for autographs. That's not really how I am, but I've ran across a lot of those guys. And, you know, Steve Johnson, I was very close with Steve Johnson growing up. He actually, you know, I recruited him when I was at Boise State. I'm still fairly close with him. And he played at USC, won 4 Division I championships while he's there. He had a very successful career. Now he's at the Australian Open right now. But yeah, I mean, I've run across those guys. I don't really get fascinated with reaching out to him.
Don't seek him out or anything?
Nah, not really.
You ever been to any of the big events, the Wimbledons, that type of stuff?
Actually, I have. I've been to US Open. I haven't been to the other three. And it's one of those things, too, where I haven't really sought it out. But yeah, I'm sure in the future I will. I was on the grounds at Wimbledon grounds, but I didn't actually see any matches. But yeah, hopefully someday.
Luke Shields, Fresno State men's tennis coach, thanks for being with us today. Good luck on the season, obviously, and we hope we can have you back several more times in the coming weeks and months.
Thanks, I appreciate it. I love my guys. Come out and watch my guys. They're fantastic people and also have very explosive games. You guys will learn a lot if you're interested in tennis.
Perfect. We'll see you there.
Thanks.
That was Luke Shields, men's tennis coach at Fresno State. We mentioned earlier in the show a big basketball weekend coming up, really a big basketball day today with the Fresno State women hosting Nevada at 2 p.m. at the Save Mart Center. Hopefully a big crowd's out there to support that women's team, a women's team that is one game under 500 right now in the conference, trying to get back to that 500 mark and hopefully make a push here for the conference title later, at least to get a good seed in the Mountain West tournament and chase that postseason goal. But also the men's side, just as big a game. The Bulldogs travel to Nevada. That one's 3 p.m. today on CBS Sports Network. Fans can follow all the action there. Unless the fans are making that trek across Donner Pass to get to Reno through the snow, I think that's going to be a little bit of a difficult journey for the team. And I know the Bulldogs men are busing over to Reno, so that probably is a pretty snowy drive this time of year, especially with the weather we've been having. But it's a big game. Nevada's still in first place atop the Mountain West standings. The Bulldogs right now sit in third. This game could go a long way in establishing the Bulldogs' chance to go after that conference title. Fresno State already beat Nevada once this year at home at the Save Mart Center just a couple weeks ago, so that game will be fresh on everyone's mind. And, of course, the game last year in Reno, a lot of people remember it for the Bulldogs being shorthanded. They were down 4 players in that game and still forced an overtime with Nevada, eventually losing to the Wolfpack. But the Wolfpack's a loaded team. They've got a lot of talent, and they haven't lost yet at home this year. So it's a big task for the Bulldogs, a big challenge. And Kevin, what do you think of the Dogs' chances going into this one?
I think they have a great chance. We mentioned at the start of this 3-game stretch that we had to win a game against Boise State, we had to win a game against Colorado State, and then we win this game against Nevada. And we're right back in the thick of things. We're only 1 game out. And the way the team has been playing, especially their night at the Save Mart Center, the way that they were dominating on the court, we attack from inside out, and then it opens up the 3, and we can make the 3 ball. So I think we have a really good chance of beating them in their house. That's going to be key for us. I think it could get us on the right path, win this road game against a tough Nevada team. And I think it's going to be blue skies from here on out if we can win this game today.
It's exciting. It's that time of year where the conference races are heating up. You're kind of seeing who some of the better teams are. You're seeing who some of the better players are. And Fresno State's right in the thick of things, so the Red Wave should be excited about that. We had last week on the show, Stephen Trembley was in here, the sports information director for men's basketball. He travels with the team to all the games. He knows all the updated info about the team. And he told us last week on the show the Bulldogs were coming off that tough 2-game road stretch where it shocked everyone when they lost to San Jose State and Air Force.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, that's kind of behind this team right now. They're going to come out and prove it. That's exactly what they did. I mean, they really blew out Boise State, who was in first place and undefeated in the Mountain West at that time. Got out to you know, I think it was like a 36-9 lead to start that game, something, you know, just unheard of like that. And then they host Colorado State in the midweek game a few days later. Colorado State was down a bit, only a 7-8-man rotation after some of their players had some academic ineligibility, but it's still a good team. It was a team that was ahead of the Bulldogs in the standings going into that game. And the Bulldogs, again, come out with a 21-point win, really just established their dominance in the second half. And we saw Colorado State pack it in with, you could tell they were designing their game plan under Coach Larry Eustace to shut down the Bulldogs' driving lanes to the basket. They were packing it in inside, defenders sagging down to stop Fresno State's post presence. And the Bulldogs just came out and said, hey, we're going to hit 11 three-pointers and beat you that way.
It's not like we can't shoot the three. That's what's so good and so deadly about this team. Yeah, if you shut down our post game, then we still have the three ball. That's why this team is going to be really hard to beat in the stretch. Also, Nevada has scorers. You know, they have like seven guys, but like four or five guys that score most of their points. Actually, two guys that score most of their points. But, I mean, Marcus Marshall, the two seniors, they score most of their points, 25 and 30 points a game. So it's going to come down to shutting them guys down, or at least minimizing them and making them kick the ball out to other players on the team and make them make shots. But one important thing I wanted to mention from the game against Colorado State is you forgot to mention the biggest key thing about that game. You know what it is?
What's that, Kevin?
We finally got that chicken sandwich.
The two missed free throws. Yeah, and you heard a loud cheer from the fans who
I thought
had
we
been
won
waiting
the game
all
on a
year.
Buzzer beater.
Yeah, when the Colorado State player missed the two straight free throws, meaning everyone there in attendance got a free chicken sandwich at Chick-fil-A. So pretty cool promotion. I haven't gone to use mine yet.
Me neither.
I plan to. But it was a big win over Colorado State. It was a big win over Boise State. And you mentioned the scoring talent that Nevada has. They've got good players on this team. This is a team that is built to compete for a Mountain West championship. They've got Marcus Marshall, who's a dangerous three-point shooter. At the same time, Fresno State's got Jamel Taylor. Doesn't shoot as many three-pointers as Marshall does, but he makes them at a higher percentage. He's more efficient with them. Then you've got Deshaun Taylor right now, who I think, since he's been starting at point guard for the Bulldogs these past two games, he's really
coming into
well.
His own. Yeah,
he's doing a little bit of everything. You know, he's not trying to do too much, but he's putting up big points.
Sure.
Probably a bigger amount of points than the Bulldogs expect him to day in and day out. But at the same time, he's not turning the ball over. He's playing great defense, and he's really bringing intensity to the floor. And I think it's been a good shakeup for the Bulldogs, and it's something that has them playing well right now. And then at the same time, Nevada on the other side is countering with maybe the two best post-presence teams in the conference. You know, as far as we know who's on Fresno State, with Paul Watson, you know, playing the three or the four, and then you've got Terrell Carter, you've got Bryson Williams, the young guy, and of course the senior Karachi Edo. Mm-hmm. Plus you get Colin Russo back today for the game. So, nice. I mean, that's a deep post presence there for the Dogs, a lot of versatile pieces. And then the Nevada counters with Cameron Oliver, who's only a sophomore, but, I mean, he's a legit NBA prospect. He can step back, hit a jumper, hit a three. You've also got Jordan Caroline, who's been putting up big numbers lately.
DJ Fenner just
DJ
put up 30 points against
30
Air Force. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, Nevada's got a lot of options, too. These two teams are really going to have an exciting game, I have a feeling. And all of us in Fresno hoping the Dogs come out on top. But again, that's 3 p.m. today, Fresno State at Nevada. It's on CBS Sports Network. We've also got the women hosting Nevada at 2 p.m. at the Save Mart Center. Let's pack out the Save Mart
Get
Center
and
support the
them.
Women's squad. Kevin, I think that's all the time we have for today. Thanks to our guests.
You sure? I think we should extend the show to an hour.
That might be a lot of
that's
talking
not my
for
call.
All our listeners, but but I don't know if they want to hear that much of us, Kevin.
Yeah, why not?
Maybe we should do a poll on Twitter and,
there we
and
go.
Find out. But that's all the time we have for today. Thanks again to our guests, Fresno State men's tennis coach Luke Shields. Thanks to Kevin for producing the show. Our co-host, the athletics director Jim Barco, will be back with us later this month. Thank you for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Saturday at 8:30 a.m. for the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. Follow us on Twitter at 907KFSR Sports. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.